All righty, we are live from the Antlers down on Portage Avenue, and we're on a different radio station tonight. We should explain right away, fans, that we hope they can find out in time to listen to WSOO tonight. 1400 ESPN is off the air right now. We had difficulties with that wind storm last week that took down so many trees and caused so much havoc in the eastern UP, and it kind of messed up a couple of our towers out there, and it makes it impossible to keep that station very strong, if on the air at all. It's going to take a while to get it fixed, too. But we're on WSOO tonight, and the Laker Hockey Show has all its sponsors set. We're at the Antlers, where we're always happy to be. We've got a good crowd on hand. Lakers coming off a sweep on the road out at Merrimack. We had our first show of the week last Tuesday night, and Damon and I talked about what we knew about Merrimack. Wasn't a whole heck of a lot. Scott Borick's their new head coach this year, and, you know, they play awfully hard. I thought they really took it to us as much as they could. They just don't have that high-end skill player. They need to put the puck away when they do get some chances. We got outshot in both games, but, hey, we use special teams. Lake Superior really good on the special teams on Saturday. You get a 5-4 victory, and then great goaltending by Merrick's Mittens on Sunday afternoon, and a timely goal by Max Humitz, and we end up with a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, no, definitely two different feelings to both games, with 9 goals being scored on the Saturday of the game. I think Coach Pork and I both talked about, you know, we knew coming into that it might not be an overly pretty game, and you know, there's just with so limited hours and really their ice sheet, like there's no space. I mean, I think it's even it's just set up. There's no room behind the net. To give you, you know, a little bit of example of that, when we got through two periods of grading the film from Sunday night's game, we'd give it up no grade A scoring chances against 5-on-5 through two periods, which is pretty unheard of. But there just seems to be no space. If you defend well with good structure and good sticks, you know, which I thought we did a really good job of, there was nothing. They had about 3 or 4 on the power play, but really tough to create space out there. You know, both ways really. But I thought they played heavy, as you mentioned. They really come at you and want to play a physical game. I know his comments after the game Saturday is he didn't think they worked hard enough, so they came out with you know, a little bit more energy and jam and physical play. And I thought we responded really well. You know, as we talked about a few times on the radio, Bill, our seniors did just a tremendous job of leading us this weekend. Certainly on the score sheet, you saw them show up in a lot of ways on Saturday night. You know, maybe not so much on Sunday night, but what you didn't see was their poise on the bench, the ability for them to calm our team down and show composure. Diego Cuglietta was unbelievable in the faceoffs all weekend long, and especially on Saturday, where, you know, I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody go 23-7 on face. Off. So a remarkable performance from Diego with the 2 goals and the face-off. So just a real good effort, but really proud of our senior group. Nick Kossoff did a great job, especially in the third period, to close the door and, you know, give us a chance to get to that penalty shot for Nellis to win it, another senior. So just a real good game, and real strange. We had, what, the 3 power play goals, a short-handed goal, a penalty shot goal. Again, I don't think I've ever been part of that, but, you know, it seems like every year we've gotten off to a great start on the power play and really our special teams in general. And so now our challenge is to keep that going. You know, we want to stay as a top 10 team on the power play, and I think we have pieces to do that. So certainly as we move along, there'll be more film available by our opponents, and they'll have counters to try to shut down certain guys and what we want to do. But again, I think we have enough pieces to adjust and keep a real strong power play throughout the season. But a great way to start the season. And as we were just talking off the air, you know, it was a long trip coming home, and we had a decent practice today, a little bit quicker than it would be this time of year. But you know, we've got to flip it right back around and get ready for Nipissing.
Well, Merrick's Mittens, for the effort that he made on Sunday, he did make 31 saves, by the way, in that game. That's a lot. And he was named goaltender of the week in the WCHA for that effort, getting the shutout, even though he only played the one game. And how about young Pierre-Luc Villette, Pete Villette? He gets Rookie of the Week honors in his first game as a Laker, first weekend. He had 2 assists on the weekend. And so we end up with 2 players of the week. I think Stephen Bayless from Bowling Green was forward of the week because he had a couple of goals and a big win at Mercyhurst. And Tomi Heiskaverta, the defenseman from Alaska Anchorage, was named Defensive Player of the Week. So all the honors have come out. Lakers get 2 out of 4. Not bad. Plus, I understand from people who've been sending me messages today that the goal by Nellis, the penalty shot goal is like a highlight now that's on WCHA. They've been showing it as the highlight of the weekend. So.
Yeah, and I think it was a USCHO top play of the weekend. So, yeah, a real nice goal and very similar to the goal Gelsinger scored shorthanded. You know, just real good poise by both those guys. And, you know, a lot of the Eastern media didn't know a lot about our team. But, again, just really got to tell them about the experience of that senior class, that they played so much hockey for us in high situations, you know, as top six forwards, as power play guys, penalty kill guys. And, you know, they're just ready for it. You know, they're composed, they're skilled, they play every situation. So, you know, it feel good to have those guys to kind of lead us through some of this. And, you know, but a lot of other leaders in that locker room as well. You know, Steven Ruggiero is very vocal. He had a good weekend. You know, Colin Sockerman's wearing a letter. He was very good on the weekend. You know, you mentioned the shots on goal there on Saturday. You know, we also had, you know, 18 block shots, I believe. I just thought our commitment to play hard and heavy in the right way, to help Merrick's out and have a good solid team effort was tremendous. And, you know, guys that maybe don't typically get in front of pucks got in front of pucks and sacrificed. So just a real good way to hit the road and bond a little bit and find ways to win a couple hockey games.
Yeah, it's a tough place to play, especially if you've never been there before. It's very much like Ferris State with the size of the building, et cetera. But we got outshot 32-19 on Saturday and 31-24 on Sunday. But it's their building, and they did play hard, and we did a lot of good things, blocking shots and tying up sticks. And I think you mentioned a moment ago that Diego, he was 23-7 in the faceoff circle in the Saturday game. I think he was 15-14. He was a little, he was much closer, but he still came out on top even on Sunday. And I was really impressed with one of our freshmen went 8-2. Owen Guy went 8-2 in the faceoff circle on Sunday. We did a pretty good job in all those areas, and that helps control the puck, especially in that defensive zone.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a goal every game to win at least 55% of faceoffs. You know, and in hockey, that's our one time to, you know, run a set play like a football team has everything scripted out. You know, we can script faceoffs, and the more you possess pucks, the better shape you are. So, you know, Owen was not great in his first ever college game on Saturday. Between the face-off circles, you know, winning face-offs. And I thought it was a really good response for him to show him a couple of things, to talk to him about it. For him to come out and go 8-2, I thought was really impressive and shows you kind of the heady hockey player he is and his brains to recognize what he has to do to be effective. So he did a good job that way. And, you know, I think, too, shots on goal, like I said, we ended up giving up under 10 grade A's on Sunday. We outgraded them on Saturday. So, you know, I think shots, as their desperation level went up, they just started throwing pucks at the net from everywhere. But I didn't think we gave up much. You know, did a real good job. Sunday, we know, was a little bit scary there for a little bit. We gave up 3 5 on five you know, grade A scoring chances late, one off a blown D zone coverage, one off a rush play where a defenseman got walked around. So there was a few moments there where Merrick's really had to come up huge and make a couple key saves. But, you know, that's why you have those guys to do that. But beyond that, you know, again, we I don't think we even gave up five grade A chances 5 on 5. So really liked our attention to detail. I thought our defensive gap all weekend long was tremendous. Real credit to our defenders, but also to our forwards who had to get backside pressure to allow them to stay up in zone. And we spent a lot of time trying to get our D up. I think it's a unit that can be really, really strong for us. You know, we've got a variety of type of players where you got some size with guys like Ruggiero and Anderson, you know, guys who with a really, really good skating ability like Rydell, you know, Jacob Nordquist, elite brain. And so I thought we really made them frustrated by not allowing them to attack on the rush. Beyond one or two moments there, and then that'll be key for us to continue with that great gap.
Yeah, we only took one player who did not see action on the weekend. Alex Samandel made the trip and didn't play. I think we'll probably, and we can talk about that more in a minute, we'll see him probably against Nipissing this weekend. In fact, we'll probably see a lot of players this weekend coming up. It's a good opportunity to do that. Very interesting on Saturday. You mentioned it once already, but I want to hit on it again. It's very strange in the game of hockey to have all special teams goals in a game. We had three power plays, one shorthanded, and a game-winning goal on a penalty shot of all things. And, you know, you get to have a little bit of say when there's a penalty shot. There's a question there that the coaches get to make the decision. The referees will ask you what you want to do. Do you want to take the penalty and have the power play, or do you want to have this kid take the penalty shot?
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, you bring that up, Bill, and as everybody kind of is aware, we don't get much time preseason. So As a coaching staff, we didn't want to get into a special teams battle, and I'm sure Coach Pork was the same way because you don't have enough time to spend on it. So, we barely got in any kind of face-off plays on the power play win or penalty kill loss, which again is a structured kind of moment to be able to have control and script some things out. And we got a little bit of power play breakout in, a little bit of end zone time. One of our groups were pretty fortunate that if you look at the group with Nellis, Humitz, Calder, Kybel and Sockeman, four of those guys were on the power play together last year. So they've kind of got some continuity and understand each other a little bit with just Ashton being in the new piece there. But the other group, has some moving pieces. Nordquist was out on that, Pete Viet, Owen Guy. So three freshmen are in there at times. We moved some pieces around Diego Netfront. So, we didn't know what to expect. Obviously, we'll take it. It's great to get off to a good start that way. And with that being, I think, 3 for 4 at the time, Mike and I talked real briefly about declining that and using the power play, and I think that would have taken us down to about a minute 10 left. So you're kind of thinking game management a little bit, but with Anthony Nellis, being the one who was impeded on the shot, we had a lot of faith in Anthony to go down with his skill set and his patience in the game on a stick of a senior. So we really liked that matchup and decided to let Nelly go, let it get it done for us.
Well, and he did. He made a great play, went in, the goaltender got him down, and then stepped to the left and put it up over him. It's exactly the same play Gelsinger made right down on the goal line. Gelsinger scored to put us on the board on Saturday with a shorthanded goal. But, that's quite a trip, too. We should probably talk for a few minutes about that. I have a couple questions that people have asked me that I'm not really sure myself how it works, but when you take a fairly large contingent like this and you go down, we have to drive to Detroit and then we fly all the way out to Boston. How do you handle that with letting the airlines know? How do you get tickets and everything? Are they open-ended tickets where you can throw a name in there at the last second? Because you don't know for sure who's going to make
Sure.
a trip, what guys are going to go. You might make a change or a decision based on a practice or somebody might get hurt. How does that work? And then also, how does it work for getting all that equipment, which is heavy and costs a lot of money? I know if you take an extra suitcase, it's going to cost you $50. It must cost a lot of extra money to take those hockey
Yeah,
pads.
no, it's challenging to move the groups and have that structured around. Obviously, we've known schedules for a while, so we get on that as a group travel. You do get to work with the airlines, and you can change any name up to 48 hours out. So when you have an injury, when somebody goes down that you initially thought was planning to go, you can make that name change up to within that 48-hour window there at no charge. And so it's a little bit of a strange week because the day or two before, we know who's traveling because we have to turn names in, but you're still trying to go out there and give everybody an equal look. And, the team doesn't know that until that we didn't notify them until after practice Thursday. So, you still want guys competing and pushing for spots, even though you've had to submit names. So it's a little bit different when you travel that way. And then just logistically, it was challenging when we originally looked at booking the trip. Every hotel in North Andover was booked. You couldn't get a hotel where Merrimack is, so we ended up staying out in Lowell, which it's only about 13 miles, but with traffic on the East Coast, it could get anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour and a half. So, not ideal there. Typically, you like to stay real close, even so where guys can walk over and have their own routines and things like that. So, it was different. It was good. I've never been to Merrimack, and I think as a coach, it's always unsettling because you don't know the setup and what the facilities are like, and maybe what extra you need to bring or the travel things like that. So it was challenging. And then I think the Friday before, about 6 days out, the restaurant we had set up for a pregame meal on Thursday or Friday night when we got there, they called and they had the gas line explosions out there, so they were shut down. And so we're scrambling for a meal last minute. And so yeah, you go through some challenges and some adversity, but it went pretty smoothly overall. And obviously the main objective is to win a couple hockey games, so that makes the trip home a little bit more palatable. But it was a long day traveling home. We were up early, leaving Lowell, getting to the airport, and then got in last night 5:30, 6 o'clock, and back at it on the ice today.
Yeah, and it's but it worked well, and we won two games, and that's what counts. Now, coming up next is Nipissing. I'm going to take a break on the show here before we talk about the Lakers from Nipissing, but we'll get into that in the second portion of our hockey show. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show tonight. Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten, Matt Pockets Engineering here at the Antlers. And Emily Pentecost back at the station, and we'll send it back to Emily right now. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on WSOO. All righty, we're back for the second portion of our hockey show tonight. We are on WSOO 1230 AM. Again, we're having difficulty with ESPN 1400. Right now it's off the air, and that's all a result of that windstorm that we had here last week. We'll try to get that back up and running in the next couple of days, but meanwhile, we'll do this show tonight right here, and it's working well. We've got a good crowd on hand at the Antlers. And we're going to talk now about the Nipissing Lakers. It's going to be the Lakers playing the Lakers this weekend. Could get confusing, but Nipissing is an exhibition series. This does not count in the standings. None of the points that come out of it count on the individual's records, etc. But it's a great opportunity to play some kids, see what some new guys can do maybe. And Mike McParland's a good coach. He's been there for quite a while. We have played Nipissing in the last few years. I don't remember when it was, but I know it's a couple, two, three seasons now since we played them. And they'll be tough because they're going to have a lot of former Major A players in their lineup and guys who played in the Northern Ontario League, et cetera. They'll look at this as being a big deal to them. They're going to come in here and try to beat a D1 team.
Yeah, no question. They've got some experience behind them and some maturity behind them that makes it always challenging. And, you know, they don't have the same NCAA rules we have, so they're a lot further along in terms of their, you know, game conditioning and their teaching, their structure in place, things like that. So it's always a challenge. You know, a little bit like Merrimack, we will not have any film. You know, typically we have our opponents pre-scouted and have a little bit of a feel of how we want to adjust and do some things, but we won't have that for Nipissing. So we'll go in blind a little bit and worry a little bit more about what the Lake Superior State Lakers are looking like versus the Nipissing Lakers, and it'll be a good challenge that way, though. And, you know, you mentioned getting some new guys in, and we'll certainly use that and play some guys that maybe haven't been in yet, or maybe, you know, play a little bit different role or trying with some other guys. But at the same time, you know, with our you know, no exhibition season, we want to make sure our chemistry is coming along, our special teams are continuing to rep. So it's really important just in terms of preparation for the season that we keep up the good play, we continue to learn and grow. You know, we want to get better every single day, and so we want to make sure that we use these games to improve.
Well, you're going to have an opportunity here. You've got three goaltenders on this team this year. Roman Bengert is eligible to play now. I would think maybe Roman's going to get his first chance to play for the Lakers this weekend in goal. And, you know, a couple of other young guys who've played pretty well here in the preseason we haven't seen yet. We haven't seen Melvin Carlson, much heralded coming in this year. Ian Johnson, who's a junior now for this program, didn't make the trip out east. I would think maybe Ian's going to get a chance to play. Bennett Vita, who's been on the team since last year but hasn't played a game yet. And Yuki Miura. So there's a possibility for a number of these guys to get in the lineup.
Yeah, and again, I think there'll be some opportunities there. You know, the challenging part is you come off two good road wins. It's tough to tinker too much with it, but because it's exhibition, we can also dress extra players. So, you know, you'll see a bench that's bigger than typical, and a lot of those guys are, you know, probably all those guys will see the ice at some point this weekend is the plan as of now. So we hope we can get them some opportunities to give themselves a compete and show what they have in a game type situation.
Yeah, we were hoping tonight, by the way, the fans who are here in the building with us, we were going to have Diego Cuglietta join us, but we couldn't get any of the players here because normally these guys have class on Monday night and then they're free on Tuesday. But because we were out of town on Monday and they can get back in time to get to classes, et cetera, they're doing their class thing. Plus, it was a holiday, so it was Canadian Thanksgiving yesterday.
Yeah, the university had no school, and so their Tuesday is Monday today.
Right.
So most of our guys have Monday evening classes. So we checked with a couple of the seniors and upperclassmen, Max Humitz, Diego, and Gage all have class. So hopefully next week we'll be back to a more typical schedule, and we'll get one of those guys out to chat and give the fans an update from a player's perspective.
Yeah, it's great to you look out there on the ice this past weekend and you see that line of Cuglietta at center. He's got Gelsinger on one side, Humitz on the other. Those are mature kids. They've been around. I mean, Humitz has scored 26 goals in his first two years with us, and he had two on the weekend, so he's off to a very good start. And Diego had a pair of goals and won a lot of faceoffs. That line right there looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, and I thought we were, I like most of our lines. That is the one kind of major talking point we have right now. When you look at the Diego line with a senior and the two juniors there, there's a lot of experience there. Hampus is out right now, but he was with Nellis and Terrell, and there you've got a sophomore, two seniors, and then we get a little bit young in terms of both by class and by experience. So we've got to decide if our other lines are going to be able to play a regular shift or on the road when we don't get the matchup, and they try to put a top line out against one of those other lines. Can they do it? And I thought Alex Ambrosio and Brian Basilico and Chase Gamlin did an unbelievable job at a great weekend, playing the right way. And defensively, I'm not sure they were out for any grade A's, maybe one or two on the entire weekend, and they created some things as well. So I thought it was a real strong effort and statement by those guys. And then we had the freshman line with Viet, Calder, and Muka down there, and again, those guys did a good job the first week. And I'd hate to be a freshman starting off at Merrimack, because that's not an easy sheet for your first game, and you already got the jitters. You're playing bigger kids, stronger kids, faster kids, and now you do it when there's no time and space. So it's definitely not an easy game to jump into. They all had moments where they looked real good, and then certainly can play at this level. Pete Viet, obviously, a couple of assists on the weekend, and then helps him. I think he'll jump out even more when we get back to a normal size ice sheet, and you'll see his speed even more and more. And then Brendan McKay, he was kind of dressed as a 13th forward, which we're allowed to dress an extra player this year. And he played a lot. He played down the middle. He played on the wing. He was a key penalty killer. And so I think Brendan, we were able to use quite a bit. And there's a trust factor there as a junior. He knows what we want out of him and the way to play the game. So I thought Brendan did a good job as well.
Yeah, we mentioned him a little bit earlier. I thought he was really good on the weekend, and you don't like to talk too much about freshmen. You don't want them thinking they're better maybe than they are. And not only that, it's hard to tell anyway when you only see him a couple games. But I thought Jacob Nordquist was really good on defense. He's not a big kid, but he's smart and he handles himself well, and he can tie up bigger, stronger players. He knows what he's doing. He sealed off players all weekend pretty well, moved the puck pretty well. I think there was one time on Saturday, it kind of scared me, but when he tried to dance his way out of the zone one time and he coughed up the puck. But for the most part, he just moved it and did a really good job. I think he's a good player. He's going to be really good.
Yeah, no, he had a real strong debut, and played a lot of situations. And we were speaking with Jacob today, and he mentioned that he was surprised he killed penalties so much. He's obviously a European player and came over and played the USHL, and hadn't killed a lot the last little bit. His team back home, they when you're playing back in the Swedish top junior division, you've got 5 to 6 high-end draft picks, and sometimes you get buried a little bit behind some high-end guys. And so he felt a little fatigued when it was all said and done. Played a little bit more than maybe he thought, but he's so smart that he can anticipate and read when to pressure pucks and when to jump and things like that. And as you mentioned, he's not going to go win physical battles in terms of outpowering guys, but he's going to do it with elite positioning and protecting his hands and just really using his hockey IQ. So he was really good, and him and Lucas had a real good chemistry all weekend long to support each other. And Lucas missed some time early on, so I thought Saturday was kind of seeing the effects of him missing some time, but Sunday he was much stronger and had a real good weekend. And then our other pairings too, Will Rydell and Tyler Anderson played a lot together last year. They had real good chemistry, and I think Will's taken a real good step this year. And then Ruggiero and Sockman, again, they played together a lot for last year, and they were good together. They defensively, we played well, and it's a group that I think can be really good for us.
All righty, we're going to take our second break on the show tonight. We're live from the Antlers. We're on WSOO tonight, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on 12:30 a.m. All righty, we are back for our third segment of our second Laker Hockey Show of the season. We are live at the Antlers. We're on WSOO tonight rather than ESPN 1400. But Damon Whitten's here, and Damon and I will be doing Laker Hockey Talk on Thursday morning. We're not sure yet whether it's going to be on WSOO at 8:30 or if ESPN might be back up by then, but we'll see, and we'll let you know. And I guess the only thing I could say right now would be tune them both in, see if ESPN's on the air. If it's not, go over to the other station. We got some questions from the fans who are here with us tonight, quite a few of them, as a matter of fact. That's what you get when you play a couple of games. Two wins for the Lakers on the weekend, 5-4 and 1-0 at Merrimack. And our first question has to do with Coach Boric and any changes that he made between Saturday and Sunday. And can you tell us how that worked for the Lakers, Damon?
Well, and I think if anybody, you know, listened to his comments to the media, he, you know, he talked about them wanting to be the hardest working team. I mean, they lost some offense. They don't have a lot of returning goal scorers and things like that. So their identity has to be hard work and compete. And so he didn't think they were, you know, great Saturday at that. And so they wanted to come out and have a better effort that way on Sunday. And, you know, I thought we responded well, again, being on the road. The first 2-3 minutes, you know, they came at us pretty hard. And then we had to weather the storm there a little bit. Then we got it going. Again, you know, we didn't give up a 5-on-5 grade A scoring chance late in the game and in mid to late third period. So I thought it was good. You know, I thought going into that building and have to play fast and heavy game should make us a lot better team and really prepare us. I mean, you almost wish, obviously, now you have a good weekend, you have success, you'd almost wish Huntsville is this weekend, you're going to WCHA play or, you know, something like that. But I think we can use this week to teach and clean some areas up. But no, I liked our response. I thought we handled it well. And obviously, you know, you get the win, you get a timely goal by Max Humitz, you get goaltending and you get the win. So you got to like that response.
Yeah, they brought back only 28 goals this season, and you know, Lake Superior doesn't exactly light it up offensively, especially last season, and we brought back 57 goals, so we brought back twice as many goals as they did. So Scott's really kind of got his work cut out for him there. And I thought you made a good point when you talked pregame on Saturday. Coach Boric doesn't really know all his players yet. I mean, he's brand new to it, and you had to go through that at one time, and you might know who they are, like you know their name, but you don't know for sure what they're like or what they do or how they react in certain situations. And he's got a learning curve there too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think anytime there's an adjustment, I mean, he's going from a Hockey East team to a Hockey East team, so he's got a little bit of a feel for some of the guys. And on the recruiting trail, you know some kids at times. But yeah, you've got to certainly, you know, learn how to handle them, how to coach them, how they respond, and when you can trust them. So, you know, it'll definitely take an opportunity. And when you're challenged like that offensively, you know, you've got to be very good defensively each and every night to give yourselves a chance. So it'll be interesting to see their season evolve. And, you know, they've been very aggressive on the recruiting trail. And that's kind of, you know, one of Scott's characteristics as an assistant coach is to go out and go aggressive and get players. So, you know, they'll look to retool really quickly there.
Yeah, he's fighting for some players right now with some other big players out east, and Ohio State's in on a couple of them. He was telling me a little bit about that when I chatted with him on Saturday afternoon. But were there any surprising performances that came out of last weekend, in your opinion, on your team?
Well, you know, I mean, you know your returners. So, you know, for Diego to go 23-7, and I thought the biggest step with Diego was just more of his game management. You know, when we were up late on Saturday and throughout the game Sunday, he made better decisions and didn't try to beat guys one-on-one when we were protecting the lead. He got pucks deep, things like that. So, surprise, no, but it was a good step for Diego to play the right way throughout a game and not take unnecessary risks. So that was good. You know, we mentioned Jacob Nordquist. You know, he played outstanding. He's a freshman. You don't know much about him and how he's going to adapt and how quickly he's going to adapt. So I thought it was a really good step for him. You know, and I thought our freshman line, again, I thought it's a tough game to jump into. There's no space. There's no time. But they acquitted themselves well. And you know, they can play at this level, and they're going to be impact players, you know, for us. Is that going to happen next week or a month from now or a year from now? You know, we don't know that for sure. But they can all play, and we look forward to seeing their progress. So, I think that's mostly it. You know, Mittens went in, and I thought, you know, was really good. I like both goaltenders. I thought Nick played well. You know, the goalies on the Saturday, it was one of those games where you didn't play bad, but there was pucks behind you all night long, and so it can be very challenging for a goaltender. So for Nick to shut the door, it was great to see that response from a senior and experienced guy. And then Merrick's was just, you know, rock solid on night long. Didn't have a lot early on, but then was really good in the third period, just like Nick. So it was good to see from those guys as well.
Yeah, and a good job covering up around the net too. I thought our D did a pretty good job of helping Merrick's out. He didn't get – there weren't a lot of, like, second chances point blank. He'd have to stop a tough one, but they cleared the puck, and they cleared the front of the net pretty well too. They did a good job. Question here on Erickson, on Hampus, and why he didn't make the trip and why he's out of the lineup right now, and also throw in Yuki Miura to that. I think a lot of fans, especially some of them who are here tonight with us to ask this question, think Yuki probably showed enough second half last year he should have been in the lineup.
Yeah, well, he'll be they're both close to returning, and they'll both be back. Yuki should be ready to go this weekend and get in the lineup, and Hampus will expect back. I think if Hampus had to play, he could play, but he's dealing with a little minor injury, and we'll be back sooner than later. Not this weekend for Hampus, but should be ready for WCHA play, we're hoping. So both those guys will look to get in the lineup here this weekend, or Yuki this weekend and Hampus down the road.
Yeah, and you do have a luxury here. I guess it's a luxury because it's this time of year. You're off next weekend, so you get a chance to, I don't know if you and maybe one of the other coaches is going to go out on the road a little bit, but you get a chance to not have to worry about playing until you go to Huntsville in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, well, I think we got a lot of teaching to do, so it's going to be challenging. I've got a trip planned. It'll give me a chance to go out, and obviously, we've hit every showcase or most showcases across the country, which is, really important to not only watch your players, but 20-year-olds, young kids. So we've come back with a good list, and we're having conversations with a lot of kids. You see them start to commit out of those showcases. It gets a little bit of a feeding frenzy, but it's a pretty good time. It's still fresh. Mike and Zach have just seen them, or I've seen them within the last couple of weeks, and now I'll get a chance to go back and look at a couple of these kids. We've got some offers out there that we'll hope to get decisions of either before that trip or during that trip. And we've got to plan a little bit more for Zach as well. I think Mike will stay with the team and work through that, and we'll try to have Zach stick around as much as he can that week and then leave a little bit later in the week there. But you've got to take advantage of your off weekends and get out. There's not many opportunities to do that, so we'll look to hit the road heavily, but also Mike to keep the team ready to play going into Huntsville.
Yeah, Zach Sizek, the new assistant coach, I think he told me the other day he was going to go out and make the rounds, as he put it, of the USHL, which is probably a good thing for a first-year coach. Get out there, meet some people he doesn't know, and maybe shake hands with those he does know and take a look at what's going on out there. He has done a pretty good job so far with these goaltenders. They both look real good on the weekend.
Yeah, no, there's a real comfort level. It's funny, even before I knew it, he'd already talked to Nick Kossoff after the game Saturday night. So, it's hard when you're out recruiting in a rink. I know when I'm out recruiting and you're checking your own score, and I don't get to do that anymore. But when I was assistant coach, I can barely watch the junior game, so I really have to put my phone away and can't check scores. Sometimes in between intermissions, I'd be listening to the play-by-play and checking in, but it's really distracting. But I know by the time he'd gotten back to his hotel, he'd watch two periods. He was able to connect to Nick. In today's world, it's nice you can share video via Google Drive and Dropbox and all those things, so you get immediate feedback. And so he's already got a chance to watch all six periods back, broken it down for his goaltenders, hit some D stuff as well, and does a really good job that way. And obviously, I'm sure he talked to Merrick's post game as well, especially with the early start. So they're all over it. Nick was back at it for the goalie session today with Zach as well. So again, I think it's going to be really important and really critical on the development of our goaltenders, all three of those guys, that have Zach there and working with him on a daily basis, and we like the job he's doing early on.
All righty, sticking with the questions from the fans who are with us here at the Antlers tonight. We've talked a little bit about weekend off next weekend, chance to do some teaching. You've mentioned that a couple of times, and here's a good question that goes right with that. What needs to be, in your opinion, cleaned up moving forward, heading into league play, which is coming up at Huntsville?
Well, I think everything. It's just so early. In our opinion, you want to work on the D side of the puck. We spent very little time on the offensive side of the puck. Just want to get into the season, especially when you have to jump into NCAA games. It might be a little bit different if we started off with the Canadian University, and maybe there's not as much as the line. The WCHA has talked a lot about being better non-conference, and we wanted to do our part going out and playing a Hockey East team. It was really important to get some non-conference wins for the WCHA. We put a heavy emphasis on being ready on the D side of the puck, and you're never happy. You're always trying to make some adjustments. We did a lot of things good. I thought our neutral zone, we kind of unveiled the new neutral zone defense, the way we're playing. And Saturday, we were not bad. We missed some opportunities to be in our right spots. And then Sunday, I thought we were really good. I thought it was really difficult for them to gain our zone. They had one rush opportunity that came on, a little bit of a broken play. But I thought we were really good. Not only were we good through the neutral zone, but we were able to force dumps and then go back and retrieve and exit. Scott Borick talked about that, I think, Saturday post-game, that they had a really hard time establishing their forecheck. And I think we can be a lot better in our breakout still. So really everything. We got to spend a lot of time there. Everything's just been so new. Need a lot of of power play repetition, a lot of penalty kill repetition. And with a short week, we're not going to get a ton of that. And that's why next week will be really important.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back. We've got some more questions from the fans, and we'll wrap up the show. It's the Laker Hockey Show from the Antlers on WSOO. All righty, we are back for our final segment of the show tonight. Again, we are on 12:30 because we have all sorts of technical difficulties due to that windstorm last week in the eastern UP. It kind of took out one of our towers where we feed things. In fact, we might have trouble this weekend. We've got a lot of sports on the air, as we always do, on Friday and Saturday, and especially Friday night. And we're going to have to get some things fixed before we can do all the games that we have to do. We've got a number of things. We got a few more questions here from fans. This one fan says, seems like Merrimack had a lot of grade A chances last weekend. Doesn't that need to be cleaned up? I don't know that they had a lot of grade A's.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, and we've heard a lot about a lot of shots, and they generated all these chances and shots. And we have a senior goaltender, so we're looking at goalies and figuring out. And you go to each junior league and you look at goals against, you look at save percentage, and basically you can throw it out the window, because each operator in a different rink, you don't know. Like, some rinks like to give their goalies more shots, like he's doing good. Some rink, so I don't think it's always accurate. And I liked our defensive detail. Both nights, held them under 10 grade A's. And again, the majority of those on the penalty kill, which you're going to give some up at some point. Do we have things to clean up? Absolutely. We've got to get a lot better in a lot of ways. But I thought defensively, we've preached a lot about having elite sticks defensively. Not only is that stick on puck, but just good stick positioning to take away passing lanes, to steer guys to certain areas. And I think we're doing a really good job on that. Zach talks a lot about, he came from Notre Dame, and Zach says, I think they might have the worst core side in the country, or one of the lowest core sides in the country. And they're a goal away from winning the national championship. And so, they gave up a lot of shots last year. We're not afraid to give up shots if they're from the right area. And I thought this weekend, for the most part, they were from the right area. There weren't a lot of grade A's from our grading and what we saw. And again, as they, were down 1-0, they started throwing everything at the net. And we had a couple breakdowns for sure, and want to get better. But overall, I liked our, for this early, I thought we were pretty good defensively.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the shots that Merrimack had on the weekend came on the power play. I think probably if we had a shortcoming, if I were looking at it and saying, okay, what do the Lakers need to really clean up? I'd say we got to stay out of the box. We cannot take as many penalties. We took a couple of them that were really, they shouldn't have happened. And how much of an effect does it have on players and coaches to change officiating crews each night? Well, that never happens in our league. We have the same guys for four games, or for two games, I mean. But
I was shocked Sunday when we came out and there was two new refs. The linesmen were the same, but they had different refs. And in the West, it would never happen because of the distance out here. But I guess in the East, they switch refereeing every night. And so it's really hard, because, you get used to kind of the standard, the way they're calling the game and the way they're communicating, things like that. And then you have two new guys come in. So, and I guess having said that, they usually have a different opponent with that. So each game's, different than it is in the West, where you're typically playing the same opponent last night. But that was really strange. And it was a little bit of an adjustment on the fly there to get used to it. And like you said, we clearly had 3 to 4 penalties that were easy calls, and we can't put ourselves in that situation to do that. You're going to come on the road and probably not get any favors, and there was a little bit of that as well. But I thought they did a good job. They got a little bit chippy there when Diego went down, no call. I thought they were starting to lose control a little bit, and they got it back under control. So we got to clean that up. We talk, one of our objectives or goals is to not take a retaliation penalty or a back-to-back penalty, and that happened twice on Saturday in particular, where you just get done killing a penalty, so you've lost the momentum, and then you get a minute or so of 5-on-5 play, you go back on the penalty kill. Well, that's 4 or 5 minutes where you're kind of on your heels, you're defending, and you're losing some momentum and energy. So those are really critical swings, and we want to avoid taking those back-to-back penalties as much as we can.
All right, piggybacking on that question, the final one we've got from our fans here tonight: we got outshot in both games. Is there a discussion with the team that you maybe tell the players you don't need to get a grade A opportunity to shoot the puck? Just shoot the puck, throw pucks at the net, so we're piling up shots.
Yeah, well, we're trying to win hockey games, not win the shot clock. So, it's and again, I think we weren't overly prepared for that rink. We'd never been out there. We didn't know, the dimensions of it. It seemed like there was no room behind the net. It was really difficult to have possession in the offensive zone. We've done a lot of work the last year or two on what we call, our forwards climbing up the wall or defensemen scissoring off the back. We got a little bit more as the weekend went along. And yeah, it's certainly a philosophy for some teams. Penn State puts 50 shots on net a night, and they're a good team. And but we're more worried about creating grade A chances versus putting pucks from everywhere. There's certainly something to be said for shooting for rebounds and creating chaos around there. That was the way the goal happened with Max Humitz driving there and stopping in the paint. Diego's goal was a rebound opportunity. So, I think there's a fine line. We don't want to be giving pucks up. I'd rather possess pucks and generate quality chances versus just throwing anything at the net. So I wasn't worried about it, and we weren't worried about it. We liked the results and the way we played.
What do we look for from Nipissing this weekend? I know we talked about it already. You have no film. You really don't know that much about them. They have played two games. They beat Toronto in a game. University of Toronto is pretty good at the game of hockey in Canada. And they did lose last week, though, to the Ontario Institute of Technology. They got beat 5-2. That was just on Saturday night. So they're 1-1 right now, but they have a couple games going there, and they've been skating for quite a while now. They'll be a tough opponent.
Yeah, and again, we don't, we're going to worry more about ourselves, get back, correct some areas we want to correct. One of the areas that we really struggled with were when we lost face-offs at center ice or the offensive blue line. We had a hard time sorting out our neutral zone defense. We corrected it Sunday morning with a film session, and I thought we went out and executed Sunday afternoon really, really well. But there's a lot of areas like that. So it's more about focusing on what we're going to do. It'll be a lot like Merrimack, as once we get into the game, we're going to have to make some adjustments. Their power play, where they generate other shots, they ran kind of a high umbrella. You don't see much anymore. If you watch NHL games, almost everybody's in a 1-3-1. And so all of a sudden, you see a high umbrella that you don't see much of anymore. And we had to kind of get that personnel down and make that adjustment. Their All-American defenseman I thought was really, really good. He's got a great shot and a very dangerous player. And we talked about him a little bit, but until you see him play and recognize kind of what he does and what he brings, it sometimes it's difficult to make that adjustment on it. But again, I thought we adjusted well and did some things well to counteract their strengths. And it'll be a lot like that with Nipissing. Once we get in the game, we're gonna have to get a feel for their style of play, the way they're forechecking, the way their neutral zone defense is. Are they man on man in the defensive zone? Are they more of a surround team? That'll dictate a lot of what we do. Again, usually that's pre-scouted. So when we play Michigan Tech next year, we know they're going to surround aggressively in the D zone coverage. We're going to have to move pucks on first touch east-west quite a bit. Nipissing, we don't know. So it'll be on our players and our coaches to adjust in game. And, it's a little bit of an advantage for them, although they don't have film on us either. So it'll be pretty even that way.
Okay, we're almost out of time here tonight. We should mention that Merrimack is going to be coming here next year. They will be making a return trip, so we'll see Scott Borick's team come into Sault Ste. Marie next season. We're not sure when yet, probably early in the season. That's when most of these non-conference games come. I want to make mention, too, before we get out of here tonight, the Great Lakes State weekend is coming right up early in November, the 2nd and 3rd. We'll be playing Michigan in two hockey games, but we'll also be that's sort of a homecoming weekend for Lake Superior State, and we will have five, six people, six, I think, going into the Hall of Fame, including two hockey players, Mark Astley and Darren Madeley. They're outstanding individuals and were great players here at this program, and it's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, it's always enjoyable to hear those guys reflect back on their time here and the other former athletes that will go into the Hall of Fame. So we're really looking forward to it. Unfortunately, Darren wasn't with his team earlier this year when we got a chance to see his team play, but we usually get to see Darren a couple times a year and typically brings his team up here as well. So we'll connect with both those guys and look for an opportunity to have them address the team probably Saturday morning and have a little presentation for them as well and thank them for what they meant to Lake Superior and the legacy they left behind them as we try to achieve goals like they did here and what they did. So that's always an enjoyable weekend to do that. I know our women's walk is going on that weekend as well, a chance to support our women's sports there and a little bit of a revamp format, so you can look into that. And I think the other big one this weekend is 350 ticket online for a lot of our fans sitting here, have their tickets and season tickets, but those listening at home, you can go online and get a ticket for 350 this weekend in celebration of Sault Ste. Marie 350 year anniversary. So it's going to be a fun weekend to get to see everybody come through, and you know, we've got a lot of talent and a lot of good players, and we're still kind of ironing some things out, figuring out who plays well together, but it'll be fun to see that unfold.
Yeah, it was interesting at Merrimack to go into that facility. We hadn't been there before, ever, any of us, and I think you're right. It is tight quarters. They're trying to. Everybody's pretty good there, though. They're very professional. They do a really good job. It's not a big school by any means. It's maybe a 3,800, 4,000 students. Even Nipissing coming in here this weekend, I checked them out today. 5,700 students they have at Nipissing up in North Bay. So it's a bigger school too.
Yeah, no, you know, it was a good trip. Like you said, I did see that. They've got a nice football field. They've redone their athletic complex in the last couple of years. So it was a nice setup that way. I know talking to some of the guys that are there, Mike McMahon and Chris Boulay are a big Hockey East media personalities or media guys, and they've talked a lot about the investment Merrimack's put into that rink and that facility and in their athletic complex. So it was good to see. You know, didn't get much time with Scott, but you know, hopefully we'll get a chance to connect up either on the road or through as the season progresses. But I know, you know, he's excited for that opportunity. He's worked hard to get back to be a head coach again, and so it was good to see that. I think it was good for our guys to go out and see Hockey East. We actually so we stayed, like as I mentioned, we got time built out in Lowell, about 13 miles away. Sunday, we, you know, we didn't go back to the rink with a 4 o'clock game, so we actually did a team walk over to UMass Lowell's rink and got to see Songus Arena there and check that out. It was a real nice setup there, so really unique in the West. You never get an opportunity like that. So you know, we enjoyed our trip. It was good. Stephen Ruggiero was an East Coast kid and had a lot of family, our Quebec kids family down, and it was good to get out there, and most importantly to get those wins and get back home. So we're excited and looking forward to getting home Friday night.
Yeah, Friday and Saturday, Nipissing University will be here, and then we take a weekend off, and then the team heads for Alabama Huntsville and comes home again early in the month of November. We'll have another Laker hockey show next Tuesday night. Don't forget Laker Hockey Talk coming up this Thursday morning. If ESPN 1400 is not on the air, just look over on WSO. That's probably where that show will be. But we'll get another show out there as we get ready for Nipissing to come in here. I want to thank all the fans for being here tonight with us at the Antlers. It's another fast hour that flies by. Damon, thanks for being here, and Matt Pocket for engineering here. And that's it. Another Laker hockey show. Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on WSOO.